Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
3 minutes past four, around here on this radio station, we are all absolutely thankful to the relationship that we have internally with Signet.
Beautiful.
The Signet crew come in from time to time and just give us the latest power banks.
Well, so is the audience, Andy. The amount of Signet power boost power banks we've given away, there'd be very, very few people here that have a charging issues with their mobile phone or their computer or any other device.
24 hours a day.
It's a wonderful point you make. Not only that, they're charging cables. Mm. The ropey cables they have that go from the phone to the charging bank. Outstanding. Not only has Signet been wonderful supporters of us in here, they've been wonderful supporters of the WNBL. In fact, women's basketball in Australia.
My word.
And Lauren Jackson. Well, let's be honest. If you're going to hitch your wagon to something, a sport.
LJ.
You want to have a superstar at the front of the wagon.
No doubt about that.
And when it's a superstar like Lauren Jackson, it's like, where can we sign on the dotted line to be part of this? Please. And the train just keeps chugging away. It is remarkable what this human being's able to achieve, continuing to achieve, and what lies in store in the next few months. And it is with a great joy that we say good afternoon to Lauren Jackson. Hey, LJ, thanks for joining us on the show.
Hey guys, how you going?
There is never, and when I say never, there's never a dull moment in your life.
No, there absolutely isn't. It's pretty hectic, but it's good, you know. I don't know what I'd do with myself if I wasn't as busy as I am.
Hey, Loz, congratulations with the Southside Flyers as well. Another extraordinary achievement. I spoke to you, I had to do a promo, I think it was actually for Signet, I can't remember, but it was one and you were just not sure, girls weren't necessarily playing as well as you'd like, and given how close it was, what clicked towards the latter stages of the season?
Well, we did, we just clicked, you know, I think I sort of maybe talked to you about like also feeling that I was starting to play better as well, so I started getting more minutes, starting to get more confidence, and then I went away with the Australian team to the qualifier, and I really felt like on the back of that, coming back to Australia and playing more minutes, you know, my game just started coming along. The girls started playing better as a team. Leilani Mitchell, our point guard, started starting the game, and she just led the team beautifully. Like, I mean, she just found ways to get people the ball. Different people stepped up at different times, and we just found what was missing all season. We found that consistency. We had, you know, there were games that weren't great, but we always bounced back after, you know, if we had a sort of a loss that was bad, we were able to bounce back. So we had that confidence in ourselves as well. So it was good.
Outstanding stuff. A remarkable triumph for the team, particularly within the series to come back, you know, from the first game.
Oh, the Perth game.
Yeah, which
was... all looked pretty bleak there for a while. Yeah, looked like ta-da championship.
You kind of had to dig pretty deep as a group.
We did, but I mean, the one thing that I took away from game one was, okay, if they can have the game of their lives, then we can have the game of our lives.
Beautiful.
You know, and I don't think that, you know, I don't think we really scouted them that well for the first game, so... off the back of that, you know, we all went away, did our homework, had a bit of a deep dive, I guess you would say. And, you know, we sort of knew that we could, if they could do that, so could we. And we did in game three. You know, we did enough to get over the line in game two. And then in game three, we just blew them out of the water. And I think that was, you know, look, it was a learning curve for sure for us. But I think, He was never in doubt.
Of course not.
It certainly wasn't in the game three. You did a number of them on him, and it was great to watch. And again, well done. What about now as we look ahead? We've got the Olympic Games coming up. You mentioned that there needed to be some help and assistance for your kids during the Olympics for you to be a candidate, because we heard you straight after the qualification say, you're done. And me and Annie, we said, say it isn't so, Loz. Well, it seems like that you've been able to work things out. What's the situation? Are you all in? Where are we at?
Look, it was hard. Like, I was about to retire right before I left, before I got asked to go on that trip. And I think I'd, you know, made up my mind before I got asked to go to the qualifier that it was going to be done. And I'd, you know, spoken to my family, I'd spoken to the kids. And when I got asked to go on the qualifying tour trip, it was a big surprise. It was a shock for the kids. And I had a little bit of a moment, like I had a bit of a meltdown before I left, because I was like, why am I still doing this? The pressure, you know, being away from the family and everything. And it was hard. Like, it happened really quickly. And yeah, in my mind, I really was, you know, sort of done. And then, you know, obviously I came back and the finals were on and I started playing a lot better basketball and so much has happened. But look, in all honesty, it is a conversation, an ongoing conversation with my children who aren't old enough to understand how big this is or how remarkable this is for their mother to be even considered to have a position on that squad or to be on the squad. So, it's an ongoing conversation with my children. My youngest son doesn't particularly like being at basketball and watching me. He'd much prefer me watching him do what
right.
he's doing. And he makes it, it's pretty hard on my family and my parents and stuff. So, it's an ongoing conversation, like I said. There's a lot of different scenarios sort of playing out at the moment just internally with my family, but I think, you know, it's sort of all coming to a head in the next couple of weeks for sure.
Oh, I mean, we hope that you can figure all that out, and I'm sure whatever the decision is, you obviously everyone's going to support you. But as I was trying to explain to Andy when they did the draw too, when you look at the Olympics, you've got the host France, you've got Canada and Nigeria, I think it was off the top of my head. That's not an absolute real friendly draw, is it?
No, but there's not a lot of teams competing in the women's draw. So all of the different, you know, groups are hard, you know, and ours probably isn't the hardest one, but it is going to be really tough for us. And yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how it all plays out. But I tell you what, after being with the girls at the qualifying tournament, the young kids coming in definitely bring a whole new dimension to that Opal squad. And I think what's so exciting is that we do have, there's something there. There's something really special about that group of girls. So regardless of who's on the team, I think that culture it's there and it's real and it's being passed along. And I think the new girls that are coming into the squad are definitely going to bring something that I don't think a lot of teams have. You know, and it definitely shocked Serbia in that last game.
Yeah.
That's great to hear, Lauren. And we take your word for it, right? So there's no disputing what you've just said. But you are you. And I would imagine that every one of those young kids that you're observing and talking about when you say what you just said, my gut feel would be that they are who they are within that group because they know that they've got you on the, by their side and in the locker room. So if you're not there, I would imagine that it would leave a significant hole in the group. Are you – you never like pumping up your own ties. You're always prepared to prefer to talk about other people, but – within the group, how conscious are you of what you mean to the team?
Look, I think it's not so. I think that my role is obviously very different. It was like a leadership role, and I think there was a element of kind of like just steadying the ship. You know, knowing that I was on the bench, that they could use me when they needed to use me. I think that always, you know, definitely, you know, played a part in it. But I think having someone like me who's been around for so long, it just, you know, I thought of Carrie, you know, that I'm just a big unit, you know, I'm around, I'm a big girl, you know, I'm strong, I'm older, I've been around, I've been to a few Olympics, I've done all of that. Like Drewy, it's like,
yeah,
you're just there, you're a presence.
Yeah, but I reckon they know that if the push comes to shove and the moment's at its hottest, they're not just, they just don't want you to be in the squad. They know that you can still step up and get the job done, as Gazy just referenced in the medal game.
Yeah, look, I can play. There's no doubt about it. And I even proved that to myself this year. I think for me, for a period of time this year, I was like, God, it's probably time for me to stop. And then all of a sudden I got my confidence back. Things started rolling. And now I feel like my body's finally caught up with my brain. I'm actually starting to move and play better. So I don't think that's an issue. I don't think it will be an issue, but those girls, you know, their character and their ability to deliver results, I think it's remarkable. And like I said, after watching them play at the qualifier and being a part of that group, I've got nothing but praise, you know, for them and their ability. And I really do believe, regardless of whether I'm there or not, that they're going to be medal contenders. And it's a really exciting time for women's basketball in this country because we are starting to, you know, elevate, and it's great.
Liz, you're one of the most competitive beasts we've ever seen. And the thing that I have the admiration for, along with, well everything, but yes. The fact that you're still pulling on the jersey and you're running around with the Albury Wodonga Bandits.
Yeah, it's awesome.
And, you're just having fun. And just to me, I am appreciative of it because there's a genuine love of the game that you bring. And I'm sure even at that level, when opposition teams come in and have to play in the Lauren Jackson Stadium against Lauren Jackson, gee, that must be a thrill for them.
Yes, look, I love it. You know, when I started playing again, actually, even back when I played in the WNBA and I was, you know, doing everything overseas, all I wanted to do was play for Albury. So the fact that this is actually my second season doing that, and like, I'm enjoying it and I'm having fun and I'm with the people that I'm closest to. You know, it's incredible. And like I said, I did an interview last weekend. I was just like, this is the part that I've waited for. You know, there's no pressure. I mean, there is. You want to win, obviously. But to be able to go out there and just represent my hometown, you know, it's of a weekend. It's go out there, enjoy it, have fun. My best friend's coaching. Like, it's fun. And that's what it's about for me now. And I just want to enjoy it with my kids. You know, I don't have to leave them. They come with me on the buses. They've got their friends who are, you know, with us. And it's, you know, it's beautiful.
Hey, Lauren, can I ask you one of the sort of a broader issue? I mean, we've talked at the start about, you know, Signet support of the WNBL and, you know, big corporations coming on and supporting women's sport, which is, you know, vitally important and not before time. I don't know how much you've been following the Caitlin Clark phenomenon and the NCAA and the numbers of people that have been watching the girls' basketball over there in the college championships. How big a watershed moment is all of that?
Oh, it's massive. You know, it's been incredible the last few years, the NCAA, the women's programs. Like, there's been some great athletes come through, but obviously Caitlin Clark, you know, wow, the hype behind her is real, but, you know, she deserves it. She's an incredible passer. She's an incredible shooter. She's just actually, I was reading something that she's bought something like $82 million to that Iowa program, that college program, $82 million this year. And that in itself, you know, the way that the fans have really got behind her and their program and supported her, and they're going to follow her now for the rest of her career. It's remarkable, and I think that's the power of sport and women's sport, the accessibility, the visibility now. I guess you build it and people will come, you know what I mean? And now that we're starting to get that support too in Australia, and it is because of the likes of Signet who are getting behind the WNBL and women's sport and really promoting it and pushing it and see the value in what we're doing and what we're achieving. It's It's incredible.
And Indiana have the first pick in the WNBA, and Caitlin Clark is going to be that. And it was announced yesterday when they do the TV schedules. Indiana last season in the WNBA had one nationally televised game. This year, next season, and she hasn't even been picked yet, they got 26.
Right. So, right.
36, is it? 36.
Yeah,
oh, okay. But, well, that's even more so an example of what she brings. It was the first time ever the women's final outrated the men's final. But Diana Taurasi, who's a superstar, you know her well. I think it was her that came out and said, hey, listen, she's playing against 18 and 19-year-olds. When she gets to the WNBA, there's going to be some different challenges. Do you see her game translating at the next level?
Well, yeah, I mean, I do. It's going to be interesting to see how she goes. I mean, obviously, transitioning into a professional women's league, the strength is going to be a factor. She's going to have elite defenders on her every night. It's going to be tough for her, but I think absolutely she's going to be the superstar that she already is in the WNBA. I think it's going to be interesting. Like, even going back to when I, you know, played over in the WNBA, that first year was a really tough sort of lesson. You get beat up, you know. It's a different game. The physicality is crazy, and you get targeted, especially number one draft pick. So it's going to be fun to watch, but she's got attitude, she's got fire, and she's got game like I have not seen as a pure shooter, like incredible. So yeah, look, I understand what DT's saying, but I'm not, you know, I think this kid's got it. I think she's the real deal for sure.
Hey, Lauren, last one from me. I'm sure your paths crossed with Michelle Timms as a player. She would have been at the end when you're at the start, and she's now this week or last week been inducted into the Hall of Fame. When you were a kid coming through and, you know, you saw the tenacity and fire and talent of someone like Timsy when she was doing her thing, what did she represent to you and other young female basketballers in Australia?
Oh, look, well, when I was growing up, there wasn't a lot of visibility at all around women's basketball or athletes. So Timsy was probably the first of the famous female athletes in this country, really famous team sport female athletes, you know. Everybody knew who she was, particularly in basketball, you know, the fiery blonde point guard. She just had attitude, but she had character. And, you know, I remember my brother, who is not a basketball fan at all, but he was in love with Timsy. He was in love with her, like at 12 years old. And he'd talk about that. And, you know, I think that's what I remember as a kid. But, you know, then becoming her teammate, like, what an absolute legend. And to learn from someone like her just about life and the toughness, and one of the first players to play in Europe in the WNBA, like what she was able to achieve when she did. She was a real pioneer and a real legend, and I'm really, really, really happy for her that she's being recognised like this. It's incredible.
As are you.
It is.
Look, let's hope that, you know, everything that needs to be ironed out from a Paris perspective is ironed out, and whatever you need and your family needs, let's hope that those in charge find a way of making all of that happen.
No, well, it's my kids, I'm telling you. Right. It's literally my children. I'm telling you, if you could hear the conversations and be a part of this process, you would understand.
Right. Well, hey, listen, I wish you all, only you know how challenging that is, and I wish you all the very best with it. We'll keep our fingers crossed. It's always a joy to have a chat with us, and congrats on the WNBA title. Well done for the stuff you're doing with Aubrey, and all the very best with everything that you've got going on from an Olympics perspective. Thanks for joining us. We appreciate your time, as always.
Thanks, guys. You're legends.
Good on you.
Good on you.
Lauren Jackson joining us. What a legend she is. And, well, now I'm a bit worried again, Keith. I thought she was going, and now I'm a bit worried. I don't know whether she's going to go to the Olympic Games now.
I hope she does, because of what she can bring, and I think that we're a better team when she's there.
No doubt about it. If you want to have a crack at the Mizuno Minute Quiz, you need to get on the line now. The first caller.
It's like a warm-up quiz.
That's correct. There's two quizzes today. Yes. Extraordinary. The first caller now, 1-300-736-736, will get to play right after the break. If you can get all 10 questions right, you're going to be a very big winner.